Welcome to Section 420, Talking Yankees, the podcast. Well, you may want to pinch yourself to make sure you're not sleeping, but you're not. You're not dreaming. You're not in the twilight zone. The New York Yankees have swept the Houston Astros to start the 2024 season. Start off 4-0 for only the fourth time in the franchise history since 1950 there. And not only did they win these games, but the way they won them just totally different from, you know, the Yankees teams that we've seen in the past. Again, clutch hitting, heads-up baseball, not just relying on home runs. So a lot of good stuff here. We'll jump into the whole thing. I know we did an episode, you know, after opening day, which is, you kind of have to do it because it was an exciting win. Plus, just, again, all of the hoopla of opening day. We've been waiting all, you know, all off-season for the day, so you want to do an episode. But it's a story itself if you sweep the Houston Astros. Got to, you know, get into all that stuff. So we'll get started in that, kind of break down the whole series, the good, bad, not too much, a tad bit of ugly, just a couple of maybe fielding errors in the Friday game. But other than that, great series for the Yankees. So we'll get it over into the whole thing. But before we get started, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Got the whole season ahead of us. A lot of good stuff. As well as make sure you go to the YouTube channel, Section 420 Talking Yankees. Go over there well. Subscribe to the visual version of the show. So as mentioned, again, we had a thrilling opening day 5-4 win there. Again, that's not something you would expect as well. But for the Yankees to peel off the next three games, not going to go through all of them verbatim there. Yankees starting pitcher was better than Houston. The Yankees bullpen was better than Houston. The Yankees were more poised. Better hitting with runners in scoring position. I mean, you know, over the last couple of seasons, you know, the script has been flipped. It's been the Astros, it looks like. They were always ones that would get to the Yankees, you know, get to the Yankees bullpen. They would pitch better than the Yankees. It always seemed that time that, you know, sometimes the Yankees didn't even belong in the same field as the Astros. Well, this was almost the reverse case. And you just see, really, to me, the payoff really is this Juan Soto. Not only got off to a great start, like, you know, like 9 hits in his first 4 games, you know, as a New York Yankee, but you see the difference of just having the likes of him and Verdugo in the lineup, just the diversity of lefty and righty batters. You know, now this is more of a, yeah, more of a diverse lineup where instead of the Yankees just throwing, you know, 8 right-handers and 1 switch hitter like Aaron Hicks out there at you. Maybe Rizzo's been the only left-handed bat the Yankees had over the past 2 years, but now you have a number of bats, left-handed bats there, and you see just the difference in this team. They could score runs now, not just relying on the home run. I know they had the one home run by Cabrera in the opening game. You know, Stanton gave you one in the second game, kind of when the Yankees already had the game blown open. Got a home run on the third game by Volpe. And then, of course, this final game, no home runs. But again, the Yankees finding ways to score runs without relying on the home run, which is what they've been doing over the past couple of seasons. And this has to do with just basically, you know, ABC baseball. Let's get guys on, work the counts. You know, you got good clutch hitting in the series by Oswaldo Cabrera, Juan Soto, with runners on. Some big hits also by Volpe as well. So that's the stuff you want to be excited about. You know, it wasn't like, you know, the Yankees were down by 3 runs and then Judge hit a grand slam in the 9th inning. Yes, that is exciting, but that hasn't been the case of the team. This team's scoring without relying on home runs. And if that's, you know, if this is what this Yankee team's going to be for 2024, and if this is what they could do for a team like against Houston, you know, this really looks like the sky's the limit. Again, we don't have Garrett Cole yet. And so imagine if Cole was on this team, you know, just what the outlook would be. But still, even without Cole, a lot of good stuff, you know, to be excited about. Not going to get, you know, over crazy and give him the AL East crown right yet. But again, if this is the way this team is going to play the whole season, it's going to be a lot of good stuff, even if Cole is on the mend for a couple of months. And it also looks like DJ is going to be out for a while. Again, it's that after, so I want to keep this all positive and good. And you want to look at the first round of Yankee pitchers, kind of the first go-through. Pretty successful. I know Nestor took his lumps in the first inning of the first game, but of course he righted himself. We kind of got the last episode. Rendon, you know, he wasn't terrible. Again, he struggled a little bit to get out of the 5th inning, threw a lot of pitches, but he wilted, but he never broke. He kept it Houston to one run then in the first inning. Again, wasn't really able to, you know, put batters away with a slider yet. Didn't really have the feel for it, but he battled out there, kept the team in it, and eventually it was actually Houston's sloppy defense that eventually opened the door for the Yankees, and they would eventually blow the game open. Same thing with the third game with Stroman. You know, he pitched 6 clean innings. I know the Yankees had to kick the ball around themselves a little bit, but again, put a couple of runners on. Oswaldo Cabrera with a big 3-run home run there. And then, of course, the Yankees tacked on later on with Volpe hitting a home run, his first of the year. And only, unfortunately, with Volpe, he wasn't available for the final game because he came down with a little bit of a stomach illness, which he didn't really disclose. But I guess it wasn't a contagious thing because they let him, you know, shake hands at the end of the game there. So maybe it was not out of the mouth, but out of the backside, and maybe it's not something that's contagious. So I guess, you know, that's good news, and hopefully he's back in the lineup in a day or two. A little scare. Gleybo Torres hit by a pitch, had to take x-rays on his hand. So, you know, Yankees basically have been using him as a leadoff hitter so far in the lineup. Looks like that was negative, and he was able to play, and was really big in the final game there. The game was tied 3-3 with two outs, started a rally. And look, I got to give it to Gleybo Torres. I always kind of complain about him that he's never really in the mix of big spots and big moments of the game. Well, that was a big moment in the final game there with the closer Josh Bader up. Now, it wasn't a safe situation, but again, he's a marquee closer, and they gave him a five-year, $102 million deal, someone possibly the Yankees are looking at. But he goes to Houston in a big spot. He has his first really big spot in an Astro uniform, and with two outs, Gleybo Torres wisely with Soto up, steals base because you have a left-handed batter there, kind of blocks the catcher's view, so it's a smart move to make. Puts himself in scoring position with two outs, and just the benefit of two outs is that you could run on contact. So Soto worked the count, got a good outside pitch outs up and away. As he always does, you know, he doesn't pull, he serves it into opposite field. Now, you know, Minute Maid Park there, is left field is kind of short, so, but again, the benefit of two outs is Gleybo is going on contact and easily scores the fourth and final run. And then Clay Holmes there, again, makes you sweat a little bit, be able to hold on for his third save of the season. And of course, a sliding catch by Verdugo in left field there to end the game and kind of gave it to the fans a little bit. You saw that this whole series, look at Verdugo was going back a little forth a little bit with the fans there in Houston. And again, coming in, you know, he was a little bit of a chippy guy. We see him had the issues with the Yankee Stadium faithful out in left field where, you know, again, one time someone threw a ball at him in the back there. So I guess he mixes it up with the fans there. And again, just a very satisfying, good win. You didn't feel like the Yankees, you could have a situation where, let's say, Houston's starting pitchers just didn't have it and the Yankees just went out there and clobbered them. Okay, that could happen. And that could happen on the other side too. But these were, you know, two well-fought games where just the Yankees were just better. You know, they hit better with runners in scoring position. Yankees starting pitchers was equally or better than theirs. And the Yankee bullpen was definitely better than the Houston bullpen. In fact, the Yankee bullpen, 15 1/3 of scoreless baseball. I know in the final game, Loizaga did give up an inherited run there and got hit around a little bit. But again, that was a run that was on before he got in, so it wasn't really charged to bullpen. So the Yankee bullpen up to this point has been perfect. And Clay Holmes, crazy enough, three saves already, where you look as a year ago, he had 16 saves for the whole season. So he has about, just this opening weekend of baseball, he has about 1/8 of the saves he had from last season, just from one weekend, just to show you how poor the Yankee team was last season and how his workload was inconsistent, just because it was just a mediocre Yankee team that won 82 games. A lot of good stuff, but really to see the addition of Soto, just a world of difference. You compare his Yankee lineup from last year, again, just relying on the home run, not putting the ball in play enough, and just having Soto in there. And also you have your hats off to Oswaldo Cabrera. Did not have a good spring. I know he hit a couple of home runs late, and just with the whole DJ being scrapped, the foot issue, and then them going for John Birdie, you figure at some point Oswaldo Cabrera would probably be out of there soon. But hey, he had a great first game, hit a big home run to tie the game at that point, and he's just been teeing off. You look at the Saturday night game, had like a four-hit game, big home run in that game as well, and he's just starting the season on absolute fire. And if this is the version of Oswaldo Cabrera we're going to get for the whole season, again, that's excellent news for the Yankees. Good timely hitting with runners in scoring position. Again, both him and Volpe doing that, which they weren't doing last season. So I don't know. Is it the new hitting coach? Perhaps. Is it just a year removed? You know, just another year under the belt experience? Maybe. I don't know. But different versions of what we saw Volpe and Cabrera in 2023. So a lot of good stuff. So, and it's just good to see this lineup score without relying on home runs. And, you know, I mean, even with Judge, you look like, you know, I mean, you got to sacrifice fly in this final game, as well as in the first game, got a big, you know, leadoff double, which he would end up becoming the winning run of that game. But it's not like a situation where, like, Judge teed off in this game. It was almost kind of quiet, underling. I mean, it was really a lot of Soto, a lot of Cabrera, and Volpe. Unfortunately, it's not the last game there because he was sick with the stomach bug. So, so right now, just can't complain with this Yankees team. Everything looks great. Even Clark Schmidt gave the Yankees a good quality start. You know, Yankees were leading 3-1. He probably should have gotten the win. You know, Houston did claw back, and they, look, they're a good team too, so they're going to fight back. It's not going to all be easy, but the Yankees eventually able to go ahead because with the Soto go-ahead RBI single off of Bader in the ninth. And again, three out of the four games are really, you know, nail biters a little bit, kind of playoff atmospheric type of games. Even really the game that they won 7-1. I mean, yeah, the final score was 7-1, but no, the game was tight for quite a while until finally the Yankees broke through. mainly because of some fielding mishaps by the Astros. So, you know, the Yankees will be playing this quality of baseball up front against Houston, in Houston, a team that's been a thorn in their side. Again, a really good sign. Now, it is quite interesting, they did mention on the Yes broadcast after the game, you know, Yankees have now taken, because remember late last season when the Yankees went down there in Houston, they did take three in a row. That's when the Yankees had Jason Dominguez, and the Yankees did sweep that series down there in Houston. And now you add these four games that the Yankees have taken here. They've won like seven in a row, and it seems like Houston has been struggling a little bit going back to 2023. The playoffs there, they've lost the last eight games at home there, so they're having little problems as well. I'm not saying they're getting old and over the hill or anything like that. I mean, it's still a relatively young team, but it seems to think the pendulum swing a little bit towards the Yankees' favor. So hopefully, the Yankees could keep that up the rest of the way. And I guess some other observances. Of course, we finally got the Juan Soto home run call by John Sterling. We were kind of figured what it was going to be. It's kind of this mix of Soto photo, okay, and then wonderful. Kind of goes into a little singing thing. Kind of a little bit like Giancarlo, known as Cipollo, whatever like that. It's kind of in that realm. Not loving it. It's not as good as the Giambino. It's not as good as You're on the Mark Teixeira, Burn Baby Burn. So, you know, I mean, again, Sterling had a lot of time to do with it. And, you know, maybe, again, it could just be one version. Maybe he's got something else later on. Wasn't wowed with it. So we'll see if Sterling sticks with that or goes with something else. It wasn't exactly an iconic home run for his first time in the Yankee uniform. It was kind of an excuse me opposite field hit, excuse me swing that kind of just went over the left field wall there. As mentioned at the start of this podcast, in Houston, left field there, kind of short there. So a little easier to hit a home run versus most other stadiums if you're going to go opposite field there. But nevertheless, he gets his first home run under his belt then. And again, Soto just looks like he fits in. He looks like he's been here for a while. Just, you know, just the way they celebrate, and him and Judge and Verdugo kind of doing the jump celebration there at the end of each game there. So, you know, he kind of fits in like a glove. And, you know, we kind of know he's probably going to be a one-year rental, but we'll see what happens after the season. I don't know. It's, you know, I don't think the script is written there. But just to see, you know, just to have this for 1 year, I think it was totally worth making that deal, because you see the difference between an MVP player that you could have there every game versus pitchers who, you know, a reliever pitches maybe two or three times a week, a starter once a week. So yeah, the Yankees gave up a lot of arms to get Soto in here, but when you have an everyday MVP type player, he can make an impact every single game, and he did it definitely in the first game, and of course did it with the game winning hit off of Hader. You know, I would get Bader and Hader mixed up there a little bit off Josh Hader there in the final game. So you see just the impact of having an MVP player. So I know it's only a couple of games, but definitely I would definitely make that trade again if given the players involved to get Juan Soto here, even if it's 1 year, to go all in for it. You just see the excitement to this Yankee lineup. So that's the thing. Now, of course, the little bad news with DJ LeMahieu, looks like before, again, the start of the first game, looks like they found a non-displaced fracture on the top of the right foot. Again, this is the foot that's been bothering him for the better part of two or three seasons. I kind of figured this was going to be the case. You know, they kind of, you know, figured this take him off his feet a while. And then the original MRI, when he just showed a bone bruise, but I guess they looked at it again. Now they finally see a crack. I don't know if I want to write DJ off for 2024, but it's kind of looking that way. He never wanted to get the surgery on it. I don't know if that really had anything to do with that from a couple of seasons ago. We've seen DJ's been slumping in recent years. It is because of this foot, he can't plant himself and swing the way he would like to. It's probably a good suspect, and we don't know how long DJ's going to be out, but if Oswaldo Cabrera is going to play like this, then there's no problem him playing third base. And of course, they have John Birdie as well, who flashed some good leather at third base. So since Volpe wasn't around in the final game, they moved Cabrera again because he's flexible to shortstop, and had Birdie play third base there, and the Yankees were fine there. And if that's the way they got to go, it's fine. Hitting wise, LeMahieu hasn't been good, so I think this with Birdie and Oswaldo Cabrera, if this is what the versions of they all can do, I think you're not going to miss DJ, and he might just be out for a while and just, you know, almost not even count him for this season, or at least maybe a good chunk of the season. But that all remains to be seen. Now, the Yankees did make a couple of moves. Again, we did see the debut of Clayton Beter, but I guess they don't want to keep him as a reliever because he was kind of building him up as a starter there. So they end up sending him down, pick up the contract of Tanner Tully. Who's that? I don't know. But anyways, from AAA Scranton. So bring him up. And to make room, they designated Nick Ramirez, one of the lefties they had there as an option for assignment. So it looks like maybe his days in pinstripes are done. And also made a couple of moves after that, getting Jake Cousins from the Chicago White Sox for cash considerations. Nothing really great about him last season with the Brewers. He had 9 relief appearances. Spent most of the time in AAA, where he had a ballooned ERA of 6.35. So, you know, you're looking at last season, you figure why the Yankees picking up this guy, but it was his work this spring training with the White Sox. 7 appearances there, posted a 1.5. 3.29 ERA, and just gave up four runs, of only one of them was earned. So I guess it was just, Cashman or scouts had their eye on this guy this spring training, who was decent, so I figure giving him a shot here. So maybe at some point he's in the mix. Again, the Yankees didn't really do much with the bullpen in the offseason. I kind of complained about it a little bit. I don't think it was dire, but you know, it was really the Yankees kind of just left the same, almost the same bullpen, minus Michael King from last season. So you still see the Yankees making some moves there. So maybe at some point we'll see Cousins. And even before that, the Yankees made a trade with the Pittsburgh Pirates for cash considerations for JT Brubaker. Now, he actually had Tommy John surgery to start towards the start of the 2023 season, so he's actually still on the mend. He might be available at some time in this midseason, so this is someone you might not even see at all, but this is the move they wanted to make. Instead of this regular cash considerations, they traded the bonus international money, so this is money that you could use on an, I guess, an international draft, so the Yankees traded some of that cash away to get this guy. 30 years old, and again, he's kind of up and down with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they're trying to get him to be a starter. It doesn't really seem to click, but I guess Cashman seems something in this guy. And we've seen Cashman kind of go to Pittsburgh a lot to get pitching, you know, Clay Holmes, Jameson Taillon, so guess he has some scouts there, always keeping an eye on their pitching staff. So again, maybe see something out of Brubaker, but he's a player that doesn't seem like going to be in the mix anytime in the near future. But those are two moves that the Yankees made there. So that's the episode. Again, a thrilling, unexpected sweep of the Houston Astros. Just three really enjoyable games, three, you know, real legit wins. You know, it's not like the Yankees were gifted anything here. They had a couple of lucky moments, okay, and Houston did kick the ball around again in the Saturday night game there. But these are three well-earned wins, and you really didn't get the best out of the Yankees. Obviously, Nestor Cortez, you know, gave them a fourth spot early on. The Yankees were able to erase that. Rendon wasn't exactly effective. So, you know, there's a lot to improve on, and so they could still get better, so that's just a good sign there. And, you know, things were even there. You know, Yankees didn't have Cole available. Now, Houston didn't have Verlander available, so you go and say that's a push. You know, both of them didn't have their best aces there, so the Yankees catch a little break not have to face Verlander. That is true, but there are pitches that have, you know, troubled the Yankees in the past, such as Valdez, Javier. So, you know, two pitches that have, you know, bothered the Yankees in the past, the Yankees were able to stand in there with them and get wins against two quality pitches there. So it wasn't like Houston threw like scrub pitches out there against the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees did hit some legitimate guys, and of course their new closer Josh Hader, Soto were able to get to him there. So, and so kind of it's good to have that little nugget in the back of your head, because you know there's going to be a situation when these teams lock up again, and you know Hader's going to be on the mound, and you know once you have that mental edge that the other team beat you one time, that does play into effect there. So it's good that the Yankees were able to get to him early in the season. And it's also an important matchup once we get to September and October in terms of seeding. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but let's say both these teams are in the playoff hunt. Well, the Yankees right now have these four wins against them, so if there's a tie or anything like that, the Yankees now will have the advantage. Of course, they're going to play later on in the season, so Houston can answer back, but right now the Yankees are in the driver's seat if these teams come down, if there's some sort of tie where the seeding is going to be. So it's important to get these wins against Houston right now. So that's the episode. A lot going on. Yankees, just, you know, again, you got to pinch yourself. No one could have predicted this. You figure you would take a split. You would even be cheering, going crazy, taking 3 out of 4, but to take 4 for 4, and just the way they did it in exciting fashion. And again, in this sort of almost playoffs atmosphere and just the opening weekend of the series here against a main rival, I say I probably go back to the 96. I think they opened up in Cleveland against the Cleveland Indians. Now, the Indians, obviously coming off the 1995 World Series, now they lost against Atlanta, but you kind of see them as the favorites in the American League, and the Yankees opened up the season there winning, I think it was either all three games or all four games there in 96, and of course, we all know what happened in 96 in the October there, so a lot of good similarities there, and you kind of feel almost the same way, and the same thing, the Yankees were on the road when they did that, kind of a bit of a surprise team, took Cleveland by surprise there, and then of course had a great 1996 season. So is this 2024 Yankee team in the same path? We'll see, but at least the offense, night and day difference from the offense last season. And that just has to do with mainly Soto, Verdugo, and I guess better versions of people like Cabrera and Volpe, who were like batting 200 last season. I guess another thing I forgot to, I want to say a little ugliness, I guess we finally saw the debut of the new uniforms we discuss. A little bit different, again, no white lettering around the New York, the NY there, and the number. So it kind of looks a little bit old school. I don't hate them, but the sweat factor, it seems like these things don't really exactly absorb water too well. And you saw Carlos Rendon look like he like went through like a slip and slide there, soaking wet there. So not really pretty in that regard there, but interesting look. But again, if this team plays well, heck, I don't care what type of jersey. It looks good as long as you're winning. So that's the episode. Catch you next time.